At first hearing, our gospel passage is rather disturbing. Our Lord seems rather aloof, cold, even mean towards this Canaanite woman. Well, we know that wouldn't be the case with Jesus, so we have to explore the gospel passage more deeply. So first of all, our Lord's in this area of Tyre and Sidon. That would be present-day Lebanon, what used to be Phoenicia. So it's pagan, Gentile territory. For the most part, our Lord did his public ministry in the area of Galilee and then into Jerusalem. So the Canaanite people, of which this woman is one, had multiple gods, just like the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the Babylonians. So they had a god of the sun, the moon, the war, the fertility, the harvest, and so on and so forth. So our Lord is going to put her through this exercise of purifying her faith. He doesn't want to just be this random, by-chance person, like, I tried this god, this god, this god. Well, let's see if this Jewish guy can perform a miracle and save my daughter. So we have to keep that in mind. So this woman is calling after the apostles, and Jesus seems to ignore her. She keeps on doing it, and Jesus says, well, my mission's to the people of Israel. Well, that's true. When our Lord came, his mission was focused on the children of Abraham, the people of the covenant, those who had received the prophecies of the Messiah, those who lived by the Torah laws. It was not until at the ascension, after Easter, that our Lord said to the apostles, now go out to all the nations, preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize. At Pentecost, with the power of the Holy Spirit, they did that. They evangelized all people. So St. Paul, in our second passage, although a Jew, calls himself or identifies himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, the woman continues on, and she does homage. She says, please, Lord, help me. And Jesus says it's not right to take food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, that's disturbing, but it's sort of a play on words. The Jews referred to the Gentiles, and Gentiles referred to the Jews as dogs. But the insulting word in the original text is kuon. So it means like that junkyard kind of dog, the mean, nasty dog. Jesus uses a different word. He uses the word kunaris for dog. And that's like your happy little household cuddly pet. So one who is part of a family, not equal to the human beings, but part of a family. So the woman says, well, even these nice, happy, cuddly dogs eat the scraps from the table. So give me something. And our Lord does. In the very end, he says, your faith is great. So this woman has come to a belief that Jesus truly is the Lord. He is the one Lord. She also has great trust, for our Lord says that, let it be done, this healing, as you wish. She goes off, and her daughter has been cured. Daughter's not present there. So, a tremendous exercise of faith. Well, from us, we also have to recognize that our Lord wants us to have a true and certain faith. Every day of our lives, you and I really need to make an affirmation of faith, to say, I believe in God. God the Father, who has given me life, has made me in his image, has willed that I should be here, and has given me the gifts to do something great for his glory. I believe in God the Son, who is true God, who became flesh, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who has suffered, died, and risen for my salvation, and has given me the hope of everlasting life. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who continues to pour forth those abundant graces so that we can live this faith. You and I have to make that affirmation each day. We need to strengthen our faith, and this is why that time for daily prayer, for reading sacred scripture especially, for receiving the sacraments, for worshiping at Mass is so important. These graced means help us to strengthen our faith. And then, too, we have to implore the Lord's help when we're facing the temptation or the doubt or even just the turmoil of life. Those are ways in which the Lord purifies us. Imagine if we never had to battle a temptation, how could we grow spiritually? If we never had to wrestle with a doubt and resolve it by turning to Scripture or the Catechism, we wouldn't grow in our faith. If we never faced turmoils in life, we could easily start thinking, well, who really needs God? I'm just fat and happy the way I am. So we have to recognize our Lord purifies us. Now, at times, we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of Christ. So, here's where, in our gospel passage, we have to look at why this woman came. She said, "My daughter is tormented by a demon," the demonic. Now, the word demon comes from the Greek diabolos, which means diabolical. The literal meaning is the one who stands in the way. So consider, on Monday, we have this eclipse of the sun, total eclipse. Isn't it fascinating that this little moon that's one quarter, 25% the size of the sun, can eclipse it because of distance? And all of a sudden, the brightness of the sun is going to be darkened because of this moon. Well, that's what the diabolical, the demon, Satan, would want to do in our own life also. One way is when we face those turmoils of life, how easy it would be to forget all the blessings we have, to lose sight of all the things we should be grateful for, and focus on this one problem. There the temptation then comes, why me? God, how could you do this to me? God, you've let me down. Instead, we need to reject that, and with that firm, certain, and true faith, implore the help of our Lord. Just like this woman said, Lord, help me. I think of how St. Thomas More, for instance, was in the Tower of London, and he said, whatever God's will, I know that will work out for the best. Or even St. Paul, despite all of his trials during his missionary work, said, for those who love God, everything works out for good. And I can say in my own life that in times of turmoil and trouble, yes, at times it can seem overwhelming, nevertheless I knew Jesus wasn't going to abandon me. Somehow this was all going to work out. So we can't let this one thing of the demonic really overwhelm us and eclipse our vision of God. At the same time, though, we can't allow ourselves to let something else eclipse that vision, becoming too busy that we don't have time for prayer anymore, or time for reading Scripture, or time for even Sunday Mass. We can't give in to a false idol, be so concerned about the money, the material things, the power, the position, and so on, we no longer see God. All of that, that busyness, that idolatry, that too is of the demonic, because it eclipses that vision of God. So every day, we have to strengthen ourselves, affirm our faith, and ask our Lord for help. I truly believe there's also another challenge here, and that is that this woman was praying on behalf of her daughter. She was interceding, approaching Jesus for her daughter. You and I need to be mindful that we should be praying for others, especially those who are caught in what I call the demonic. You and I, especially in this 100th anniversary of Fatima, should be heeding our Blessed Mother's request to be praying for the conversion of other people. We look at our world and we see how evil has truly tried to eclipse the light of God. When we hear about these awful terrorist attacks, like the one now in Barcelona, how is it that someone could say, "I do this in the name of God"? That's demonic. Or we have crazy person in North Korea who talks about nuclear weaponry like it's nothing, when he could obliterate all kinds of innocent children and people, and also devastate large parts of this world. That's the demonic. Or even when we think about Iceland, who said, "We have eliminated Down syndrome." Well, they didn't eliminate a disease like smallpox or polio. They've killed children. They've killed unborn children. They've said, "This person doesn't deserve to live." Well, when will they boast about curing Alzheimer's or dementia or cancer by eliminating people? Consider that. That's all part of the demonic. And when, too, in our own country, we've lost sight of God, look at what's happened. And in many ways we have. We look at and we see what's happened in Charlottesville. We see what's happened in riots in different cities. We see the violence and so on. Don't these people see God? No. They're possessed by something else, an evil spirit. And we have people who also say we need to be tolerant and inclusive and loving, and yet, when you disagree with those people, they become the most intolerant, most exclusive, most hateful people there are, because they've lost sight of the love of God. Or when people want to rewrite history, we're doomed to repeat it. And that's a serious warning. When we want to try to rewrite history and erase history and so on, we're condemning ourselves to making the same mistakes. Pope Benedict always warned, when we abandon truth and we give in to a dictatorship of relativism, then we will be subject to a logic of power, meaning believe, accept, or we will crush you. That's the demonic. And so, my brothers and sisters, you and I have to be people of faith, that firm conviction of faith. You and I can't curse the darkness. We have to be the light. Even though there might be this little eclipse going on, we have to be the light that shines forth and shows the truth of God and the love of God for all. May God bless you.